We truly rejoice in being able to fellowship with one another as we have sung spiritual songs and we have indeed commemorated the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we come to the part of His worship where we seek to edify one another through the study of the Word of our God, you through listening and myself through presenting it, seeking to do so in the manner that our God has approved. As always, we welcome those visitors. We thank you for being here. If there are any questions that you may have afterward, we are more than happy to answer those questions. And if you would be willing to, we are ready to engage in a Bible study so that together we can ask and confirm what saith the Lord. Once again, thank you for being here. If you will, please open your Bibles to the first letter written to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Would you please bow with me in prayer? Our beloved Father and our Heavenly King, we kneel and we bow, Father, seeking to do so in a manner that is reverence, in a manner that honors and glorifies Thee, for Thou art truly King. We are grateful for the many blessings that Thou have poured upon us, and we are grateful for Thy love, Thy mercy, and Thy grace, which we are not worthy of. Father, as we now stand before Thy divine throne through the avenue of prayer, and as we seek, Lord, to rejoice in this love feast, we hope and pray, Lord, that we have presented Thee something that is pure, that it is a fragrant scent in Thy sight. Lord, as we now continue to study, Father, that design that Thou have left for the home, please, Father, allow us to understand our place as a healthy head, that just like You, Father, are the head of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and He is our head as the head of the church, that we, Father, as husbands, may emulate both He and Him in being wise and healthy heads of our homes, Father. Forgive us once more when we have failed Thee. Forgive us when we have not done in accordance to Thy word. For we pray and we ask this, not because we are worthy, but we humbly do so in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was younger, my mom was still around. She imparted many lessons to me, and always lessons as to how to be a good gentleman, how to be a good future husband, but more importantly, to always remember to be a good Christian. She would always remind me that to be a good Christian would be the center of everything else. If you're a good Christian, you will be a good husband. If you're a good Christian, you will be a good citizen of any country that you are in. If you're a good Christian, you will be a good neighbor. If you are a good Christian, you will simply be good. But I remember my mom. She would always tell me, "Remember, son, if our head is healthy, our body in turn will also be healthy. But whenever you feel dizzy, whenever you feel lightheaded, whenever your head is not fully healthy, well, the effects will trickle down to the rest of the body." Well, this is what I had in mind as I prepared our lesson for this morning and later on this evening. You see, when we think about that, it makes a lot of sense because we see what the Bible is teaching us here in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3. We see how it is that the Apostle Paul in verse 3 makes sure, he says, "But I want you to know." He does not leave it up to chance. He does not assume that we already know. He does not make the suggestion that he's about to repeat something that perhaps we've heard from someone else. In the case of the Corinthians, he is not thinking, "Maybe Apollos has already said this to you. Maybe Cephas has already spoken it to you." No, Paul says, "I want you to know. I want to make sure that at least I have spoken it to you." And thus we ask the question, what do you want us to know, Paul? What is it that we need to know? And when he says what he says, observe to whom he's directing these words to. That the head of every man is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. Notice how that begins. If you pay attention to verse 1. Verse 1 says that we are to imitate the apostle because he was an imitator of Christ. Paul, isn't saying imitate me because I am the better of the apostles. He is not saying imitate me because I am the greatest example you could have. No. If you don't know how to imitate Christ, well then just follow my lead because that's whom I am imitating. And you will see and you will learn how to imitate Christ. But it's interesting that after he tells us to be imitators of Christ, because that's what he is saying, he tells us why in verse 3. Because he is our head. And when the head is healthy, the whole body will be healthy. If we are not dizzy, if we do not have a head cold, if we are not having problems with our mind, right? If our thoughts are right, if we have our head on right, then our body will function to its full capacity. We've said this before and we'll say it again. A strong home begins with a strong male presence. A husband, a father, a man who allows Christ to be his head is healthy. Because good Christians lead to good homes. You see, brethren, this is why we see the cycle how it begins. We've mentioned before that in order to find stronger, sound spiritual congregations, we need stronger, sound spiritual homes. But observe how the cycle begins. In order for that home to be built strong, in order for that home to, as we've just sung, to be built on Christ, the Rock of Ages, well, the husband, the head of that home, must be first solid himself. He himself must already be submitted to Christ, his head. But then Paul goes even further. The reason why I imitate Christ, says Paul, the reason why you should imitate Christ is not just because Christ is our head, but because Christ himself also has a head. If you don't know how to submit, says the apostle, well, Christ is our example. Christ is the head of man. The head of woman is man. But observe how he ends. And the head of Christ is God. It's amazing, brethren, because we always refer to Jesus Christ as the head of his church. And he is. But Paul here is saying, oh, but Jesus too had someone to respond to. Jesus too had a will to submit to. Jesus could not have become the head of the church had he not first allowed God the Father to be his head. You see, brethren, when we study this, we see the marks of a sound leader. We see why a healthy head is needed in the home. But notice how it trickles down, just as my beautiful and wise mother told me when I was young. Because when there is a healthy head, the body will also be healthy. And notice how God the Father is holy, thus His Son Jesus Christ is holy. Therefore those who are Christian men, faithful, godly men, they too will be holy. And it shows always in submission, doesn't it? So we begin then to see that the marks of a sound leader begin when we see that he is first a good steward of God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Scripture says the following, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice for whom we're doing it? Did you see to whom the glory belongs? Strong homes aren't so that the husband can puff his chest, so that he can be the one that is lauded as a good man, as a good husband, as a wise leader. No. Because all he's doing is he is imitating Christ. And he is submitting to the will of Christ. You see, brethren, you see, brothers, males, to have been made heads of our household, it is a gift that has been given to us. This is why the proverb says that a wife is a gift from the Lord. We have been given a gift from God. It is a spiritual gift. It is a talent, as the parable says. And thus, because it is a responsibility along with a privilege that God has given us, then we must understand that because God has given us that as part of the talent, we must use it wisely. And it must bring forth good fruit. You see, in being heads of household, we are serving God first. You know, when I was in JRTC, I remember the question that they would ask us as we were trying to get our citation cord. What does it take to be a good leader? And we had to respond, a good leader is produced when we are a good follower. This is biblical. Notice how God, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that if we are going to be godly children, if we are going to be loving children, then we are going to imitate God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. And in that same chapter is where last week we saw that Jesus Christ is the model of a godly husband. But Jesus submitted His will to His Father. He did it so that the glory can be given to His Father. I have not come to do my own will, but I have come to do the will of my Father. You see, brethren, a healthy head, a sound leader, first acknowledges that he is nothing more than a good steward of God. That even with his wife, he is serving God. And that in producing and in training and in teaching and in guiding that wife and that home, he is doing it, so as we've just read, so that the glory can be given to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember what God said in Malachi as to why he had allowed a marriage to be? So that they can bring forth godly offspring. When we read this, brethren, we should always bring to mind what God says about His friend. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 17 through 19. Specifically in verse 18. How beautiful were God when He speaks about why He is about to give Abraham and Sarah a child. He says, I know. He doesn't guess, He doesn't assume, He doesn't think. I know, says God. And what do you know about your friend? That he will teach them to walk in my ways. I know that he will be a healthy head to that home. I know that not only will he ensure that his son walks in righteousness and in my justice, but even his son's sons. Because he is healthy. He is a good steward to my will, says God. So we begin by seeing that the marks of a sound leader is first he who is a good steward of God. And keep in mind, brethren, once again, that Christ being our model proves this to be true. Because often the Lord told those who spoke to him or tried to tempt him, and even his own disciples, that he was not here for his own will. That he was not here to do with the church as he preferred or as he wanted. That everything that he did was to fulfill the will of his Father. And thus, everything that he did it through submission to his Father. But it wasn't because he was obligated, no. Nor was it because he was afraid, no. Because he wanted to glorify his Father. He wanted to give his Father all honor and reverence as he is owed. Thus, Christ, as our model, shows us that to be a sound leader, we must overlook the spiritual edification of our wives and our home. It is our duty and is our responsibility. And observe the word there, overlook. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 33. This is a very, very interesting passage. Notice how verse 33 begins. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let me read that to you one more time. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, notice, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Well, brother, does that mean then that I cannot ask a question in the Bible study? We got to understand the context. Remember what chapter 14 is dealing with. That's why we read verse 33. Paul here in chapter 14 is dealing with the abuse of the spiritual gifts that they had received, particularly the gift of tongues. Thus, this leads us to believe and it shows us that Christian women too had been given this gift. The problem was is that because they had received this gift, they were wanting to exercise authority over the men. Because they had made the mistake of saying that he who has a gift of tongues has been blessed by God on the level of the apostles, therefore they must be special and they are on the top tier of the hierarchy. But Paul quickly breaks down that argument because it has nothing to do with the gift. It has to do with the Spirit and the purpose that the Spirit gave those gifts. But verse 33 clarifies that because God does not do anything out of chance and God does not do anything without purpose, that there is an order and there is a proper way of how things must be done. That's what he is teaching here. And the lesson that is being taught as we also follow the pattern that God has left is that the wife should first ask her husband the question. Because she acknowledges that he is the head of that household. You know, it's hard not to think about my parents as I prepare this because I'm single. I'm a bachelor. But I always remember my parents' marriage. And I remember how every Wednesday and every Sunday, without fail, my beautiful father, every Sunday without fail, as we were driving home and as we were eating lunch or whatever the time was, the whole way, the only conversation we were having was about what was just taught that Sunday. About what was just taught that Wednesday. My father understood this passage. He wouldn't just ask the kids. No, he would turn to my mom and he would ask her, "What did you learn?" But I remember also moments where my mom, as soon as we'd get into the car, she'd ask my dad, "Why did the brother say this? Am I understanding something wrong?" And my dad would immediately respond, "I knew you were going to catch it. No, he made a mistake. I've already told him that I'd like to speak to him later." This is what that passage is talking about. It's not saying that you shouldn't ask the preacher or your elders a question. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is you should first turn to your husband. And for us men, well, this is why it's important for us to be fully immersed in scriptures. This is why 1 Peter tells us that we have to be ready to give an answer for our hope. And that answer must first be ready to answer it to our wives and our children. Because if we can't give them that answer, how are we going to teach others outside of our home? But how sad that many times we find marriages where the wife is more immersed in scripture than the husband. How sad is it that many times the wife shows to be more spiritual than her husband? They have a head that is not healthy. They have a head that is being held back by ignorance of scripture. How can we lead our home if we don't know where we are going or where we're supposed to go? You see, the marks of a sound leader is in his strength and in his knowledge, but more importantly, in his application of scripture in his own life. Because true sound doctrine is taught first through example, and then by our words. Because Jesus first did, and then he taught, says Luke in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So we see once more how Christ, being that model, how he shows us what a sound leader is. Because again, Christ is the head of man. But again, what Jesus received from his Father was perfect. What God gave Jesus was perfect. And thus what the Father gave Jesus, he had to understand it himself. Because how could then the Father give something to Jesus that he was unsure of? "Well, Father, are you sure that crucifixion is the only way?" "Well, there's a high chance." "Wait, you're telling me there's a possibility that I may not redeem my brethren through my blood?" "Well, there's a small percentage, but let's try it and see what happens." Can you imagine redemption hinged on that? No. When Jesus Christ asked his Father, when he went to his head and he asked, "Is there no other way?" The answer was clear. No. This is absolutely the only way. It'll work. Peter cuts off the ear of that soldier, or the servant actually. And what does Jesus say there in John chapter 18? "Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?" Notice Christ recognized the answer. And because he understood the answer, he explained it to his wife in the form of the disciples. A healthy head, a sound leader who submits to the will of God, will overlook the spiritual edification of his home. But he begins by first being edified himself. He prepares himself for whatever question his son or his daughter may ask. Whatever he hears from the podium that may be wrong and he needs to immediately do damage control at home. For whatever his wife didn't understand. And I'm not saying you have to always have the answer, no. But you do always have to have the initiative. You know what? Let's study it together. Let's go to scripture. What does God say? Because that's something that I had on my mind as well. Let's study it together. Many times, brethren, when I was teaching the younger people, back in Houston and here, many times the teachers were left with the responsibility to educate the children in Scripture. That is not the teacher's responsibility. That is your responsibility as head of household. It is your responsibility that either you are making sure your son and your daughter are understanding how to study the Bible, or that you have instructed your wife to do so. But you have to ensure that it is being done in a sound manner. But too many times this responsibility is neglected, and it is either left all to the wife, or even worse, it is left to the Bible teachers of the congregation that you attend. This is not a healthy head. This is not a head that submits to Christ. This is not a head that imitates Christ as he submitted to his Father. But we also see that he does exert his authority. Yes, he must. But he does it justly and with humility. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. But notice verse 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? But Brother Obed, this is the requirements for an elder. How does this apply to me as a husband? I'm not trying to be an elder. Then how sad that you think that way. Because a good Christian male strives to be an elder. Not because he wants the authority, but because he wants to serve God with his full potential. We should all desire to serve our God to our very best. We should never be intimidated by the responsibility, because Christ has given us the assurance that we can do it. But aside from the desire, pay close attention that what Paul is asking of the male here should already exist in us as a Christian. As Christians, we should already be blameless. This is the definition of being holy. Blameless doesn't mean that I don't sin. No, blameless means that when I make the mistake and I recognize it, I go to correct it because I don't want to continue in that sin. We should all be husbands of one wives. Meaning then that we should not be in adulterous relationships. That we should not condone fornication, polygamy, and things of the sort. We should be faithful to that one woman of our youth, elder or not. Thus then, notice that the leadership quality of the husband here applies to every male. We must make sure that we rule, notice, his own house well. Two things that are found here, isn't there? First, how many times we are quick to rule other people's homes? You need to go talk to your wife. No, it's not your home. She's not your wife. That's that head's responsibility, not yours. But two, ruling well. We missed that last part of well, don't we? What does it mean to rule our home well? Well, if we are a tyrant, that's not ruling well. Because Jesus is not a tyrant over us. He does not impose his will upon us. He does not force us, nor does he obligate us. He invites us, and he does so with the spirit of meekness and gentleness. Well, if I am a pushover, this is not well. Because Christ maintains his authority firm. He has given us his commandments. He has told us what it takes to be faithful unto death. Notice the will balance that our head man, who is Christ, shows us. To rule well doesn't mean to just claim our authority. I remember learning this lesson once when I was had just been promoted to be a supervisor at one of my jobs. It was the first time I had been given that honor. And I remember that I had this one employee who was resisting me just because I was younger than her. And boy, was she proud, and was she a very, very stubborn woman. And I remember that she pushed me to the limit, that I told her, you know what? I'm the one in charge. I'm the one who has authority. You need to do it because I said so. Immediately, my manager called me into her office. Whoa. That's not good leadership. You can't let them push you to that point. Because if you have to boast or you have to tell people that you're in charge, then you're not doing it right. Respect is earned, she taught me. And people will know you're in charge by how you conduct yourself. Be stern when you have to be stern, but you also need to be fair and understanding at times. If you have to tell your wife, husband, that you're the one whom God put in place, that you're the head, and that you're the one who is in charge, you're not doing it right. Because she should already trust you, and it should be seen by her submission to your will. But if she resists you, then you're doing something wrong. The head of that body is not healthy. Because Scripture shows us that if you are leading your home as Christ leads His church, when the wife is going to submit to you like the church submits to Christ, because she trusts you and she sees that you are a good leader. When we rule well, notice that Paul brings this in by saying in verse 3, you're not given to wine, meaning your judgment isn't hindered by exterior things. You are not violent. Your judgment isn't hindered by a lack of control over your emotions. Not greedy for money, meaning that your decision making isn't made selfishly or for your own convenience. Notice, Scripture will explain itself. But what is ruling well? But, says Scripture, gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not covetous. He presents first the three things that are not ruling well, and he gives us the antidote. A husband is to be gentle. Doesn't this make sense with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says? When it tells us that she is the weaker vessel. This is why we have to be gentle. To rule our home well, to be a healthy head, to be a sound leader, first and foremost, we must remember that we are stewards of God. And we have to make sure that we understand that in how we lead our home, it is for the honor and glory of God first and foremost. Secondly, we have to overlook the spiritual edification of our wife and our home. But in order for me to be able to do that, I myself must first be edified. I myself must first already know how to rightly divide the word of truth. So that when my wife or my children have questions, I will know either how to answer the question according to Scripture or how to engage with them in searching the Scriptures together to find the answer. And thirdly, you exert your authority justly, but you do so with humility. You don't make my mistake of having to say, do it because I'm the one that's in charge. Because I'm the one who told you. If you're doing that, you're doing something wrong. Because when people do respect you and do acknowledge your authority, they will follow what you tell them. Because they respect you. Because they trust you. How many times do we read Jesus say from his own lips that he's the head of the church? That it is his authority. The only time in scripture where we read Christ refer to authority as his is when he resurrects. And even then, notice what he says. All authority has been given to me. He's not saying I took it. I'm in charge now. No. It's been given to me. He is still referencing to someone higher than he. And that's the point. If your wife understands that what you're doing is so that together you can honor and glorify God, she will follow your lead. Because she sees the godliness in you. Because she sees your spirituality. If she isn't, then something is not healthy there. There's something wrong there. And it needs to be addressed with the great physician of the soul. Now, my friend, we always make sure to end by inviting you. Because you, without a doubt, do not have an unhealthy head in Christ. But if you have not yet been added by him to his body, then your head is very unhealthy. Because your head is Satan. If you have not yet been married to Christ, well then, you are under the tutelage of a tyrant. One who does not care about you, one who will not care for you, and does not want to provide for you. The only reasons he has you is for his own nefarious purposes. But Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13 and 4, teaches us that today you can be transferred from that kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Today you can be made free from that bondage of sin. You have to be willing to kill the old man and leave him buried in the watery grave. And when you rise from those waters, you'll rise to a newness of life. And you will then be under a healthy, sound leader in Christ Jesus. And he will lead you to death. He will care for you. He will guide you through his word. Don't you want to be under a better leadership? Don't you want to belong to Jesus Christ? If there is anyone ready or subject to the invitation call this morning, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.
Come to Jesus, he will save you. Though your sins are crimson glow, if you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus.